Welcome to the Context Machine, episode 686. Yay! It's a palindrome.
Woo!
Except it's not. I'm Brian Chaffin, the misuser of words.
And I'm Jeff Gamet, the guy that's going to be mildly, mostly pedantic today and point out that, Brian, we did some research. And by we, I mean, I did some research a while ago, and we had a discussion about how turns out that's a numeric palindrome.
I don't remember that. I actually remember talking about the fact that it's not a palindrome. I don't remember it having.
We did have that whole discussion, yes. And then later on, we did a follow-up discussion on another numeric palindrome day, and so we had this other discussion. I can see why you wouldn't remember that, because the implication is that you were wrong. And
I have had a stroke.
Yeah, of course, it's going to be wiped out. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So
in my defense.
You do have that as a valid defense, yeah. Hey, another thing, if you flip over 686, now it becomes 989, which, by the way, is one of the old prefixes for phone numbers in the Denver metro area in Colorado.
Interesting. And if you reverse the order of 989, it's still a 989.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
I feel like I should go rub a crystal or something now.
What we can pretend is interesting.
We are really good at pretending. By the way, just in case you weren't aware, Brian, also you've had a stroke, so maybe you forgot. Uh-huh. We have a website, contextmachine.io.
Oh, that's interesting. You can use contextmachine.io to reach out to us, or you can find us on Mastodon at Context Machine, or on Blue Sky at contextmachine.bsky.social.
Also, cool news, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is MacPaw.
Excellent. I love the folks at MacPaw. We're going to tell you more about them later in the show.
Cool.
Yep. So you had this cockamamie idea talking about, see, my notes here are strange new world, something, something, Kirk, blah, blah, blah.
Okay. And everyone, just so you know, that is literally the note that Brian wrote. Strange new worlds, something, something, Kirk, blah, blah, blah.
Something not about me. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
Anyway, bonk. What was your... So we're talking about this week's episode of Strange New Worlds. So if you don't want any spoilers, we will try not to give spoilers. But I think by even talking about it, there will be some level of spoilers involved in that. So... you are welcome and encouraged and advised to just skip right over this part.
Or pause, go watch the Salat That Ate Its Tail. Mm-hmm. That's the name of the episode.
Mm-hmm. That's
and good. Then come back and unpause and we'll be here.
Yep. Go.
And then we can avoid spoilers for you. Right. But yeah, Brian, you're right. I don't think we can have this discussion without having at least mild spoilers.
Yeah, at the very least, mild spoilers. And we want to be sure that you are protected against that. So go ahead and pause us. Okay, great. I think...
hey, welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back. So anyway, this was another great episode of a great series of the best Star Trek since TNG, maybe TOS.
Yeah, and my take in a nutshell is that this one episode, which focuses on the growth as a character of young Kirk. What's his rank? Captain Kirk yet. He's now Lieutenant Commander.
Lieutenant Commander Kirk. Right.
Right. And when we've seen him previously, he was Lieutenant Kirk, and he was temporarily on the Enterprise to shadow Una, number one, mm-hmm. because he was being promoted on the Farragut from a lieutenant to lieutenant commander, so he could be the first XO. Officer.
Yeah.
First officer.
Right. Or yep. XO, yeah. But, of still on the Farragut.
Still on the Farragut.
Right.
So this episode, he has been promoted, and he's been serving as the first officer for some length of time.
Yeah, but not and that long. Like probably like, you know, at most of last year, that would be my guess.
Yes, I think that's a totally fair assumption.
Basically since the last episode that he was in. However much time has elapsed in the show is how long he's been the XO.
Right. And we know that there's a 6 month jump between two of the episodes in this season already. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think saying he's been the first officer for at least a year is totally fair. But he's bored. And anyhow, but where I was going with that was we've got this Lieutenant Commander Kirk, and I'm feeling like we are getting a much better Kirk growth thing in these episodes in Strange New Worlds than we ever got in the Kelvinverse for Kirk.
Well,
I think this is a much better Kirk.
I don't think the Kelvinverse was even trying to show his growth, though. I mean, you know, it goes.
You're right. I mean, he went from cadet to captain of the flagship.
He went from the rebellious kid to a cadet to being promoted as captain.
Yeah, and I did have trouble with that. I mean, yes, I get it. It's just a story, but I nonetheless had issues with here's this cadet who's been suspended. And he went from suspended cadet promoted directly to captain of the flagship.
Right. That's fair. Yeah. And in the meanwhile, I'm sitting here stewing over the idea that the Beastie Boys would be the rebel song for a kid in the 23rd century, right?
23rd century. Yeah.
Yeah. I freaking chafe at all of the, future sci-fi that constantly looks back to our time for pop culture things. That drives me nuts. But whatever. Your point is much more valid. I mean, okay, but to be fair, part of the whole Kelvinverse thing was that the changes to their timeline compared to the true timeline, mm-hmm. That was why Kirk got promoted in that scenario, and his promotion was very much a in the context of its time.
Yeah,
I didn't really have a problem with it. I didn't really have a problem with it.
I did, but you know. I'm such a prima donna. No, wait, that's you.
That's that's me, man.
But in shut this up. Case, it's
off my turf.
I'm sorry. I totally stole your shtick there for a second. I am sorry. But yeah, I mean, there's so much different because we have the thing where Kirk is born, his father is killed. Therefore, his brother never even happens. Mm. And, you know, it's just like this cascading thing. And yeah. So, but I feel like we're getting a much better Kirk in Strange New Worlds.
Okay. All right. But we're getting a much better
character overall.
A much better Kirk in the context of the original timeline.
Yeah, which is really interesting to get to see.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I don't want to say too much more about that for spoilers for those people who didn't pause.
Yeah, well, for everyone that didn't pause and hasn't seen the episode yet, you have been warned and warned and warned. And so if you get spoilers now, I'll just blame Brian.
That's fair. So it was a terrific episode, and it really made me, you and I talked about, so we almost recorded last night, but we had technical problems. Spoiler. And you and I were talking about this, and I was saying that how much I want for Strange New Worlds, the cast of Strange New Worlds, really, and the production team behind Strange New Worlds to continue after Strange New Worlds for Kirk being on the Enterprise.
And there has been talk about that actually happening.
Right. And with the Skydance Paramount merger, all that, I don't know. I feel like all bets are off.
And that bugs me. So, but hopefully it still happens, because we do get a taste of what that could entail with this episode, because we do have several TOS characters that get to interact, and I really enjoyed it a
lot. Yeah, I did too. I very much enjoyed it, and the fellow I don't forget his name. I don't know his name. That plays Kirk is he's really good as Kirk. He's not a Shatner Kirk.
Right, and he does Paul Wesley.
Okay, great. Thanks.
That's his name.
Make a note of that, Paul Wesley. Okay, great. He's a really good Kirk. It's been interesting to me basically, these new actors who are playing old characters who were originated by other actors, usually decades ago, they tend to take one of two routes, either putting a completely different spin on it or basically doing a tribute, something bordering on a tribute and an impression. Mm-hmm. Like in the Kelvinverse, Spock was very much a tribute. The Bones was that cross between a tribute and an impression. And Kirk was Chris Pine was a new version of Kirk.
Yep.
And in Strange New Worlds, we've got the tribute to Nimoy's Spock with a very fresh spin put on that tribute.
Yeah, and I'll call that fresh spin a respectful fresh spin.
Yeah, it is. It is very much. I mean, it's the kind of fresh spin that is only possible through the lens of time, and that there have been decades of cultural development since Nimoy was playing Spock. And, that's good. That's a good way to put it. Respectful, fresh spin. And I've enjoyed that Spock immensely. The actress playing
Ethan Peck.
Yes. The actress playing, Christine Chapel. She's not doing anything. Everything she's doing is new.
You're right. It's one of those characters where I think it's pretty easy to do everything new, because Nurse Chapel in TOS isn't there that much.
Right.
And the closest we get to any backstory for her is, the episode where
the Roger Corbin episode
where we have the
and that was that was after re-recorded when I sent you, was it you that sent you a note that I said that I was today years old when I realized that I'm looking for the note that that this was Roger Corbin and who her boyfriend was.
Fiance. Well, fiance, yeah. At this point in Strange New Worlds, boyfriend. But by the time TOS rolls around, estranged fiance.
Right. Anyway, I have loved to make fun of that episode for decades. The TOS episode. At Domino's.
The penis rock is, yeah. Anyhow, yeah.
The penis rock. At Domino's, I would take, do you know those triangle pieces of ham that Domino's uses for ham? I don't know if you've ever gotten ham on a pizza from Domino's.
Well, okay. Well, keep in mind, I have a dairy allergy.
Oh, right. So. Of course. God, of course. Sorry. So anyway,
yeah.
Domino's uses...
It's my version of a stroke. It's my excuse for a lot of things.
Domino's uses these triangles. It's basically, it's a round, tube of ham that they then slice and force. And that's their ham. And I would put a piece of this triangular ham on my hand and go, "This can be repaired." And hold it up to someone. Oh my god! And I did that probably.
I shouldn't laugh because that is so stupid.
I probably did that 100 times over the years. Christine, this can be repaired, and it because it was such a cheesy effect that they had done to because the skin was peeled back.
Yeah.
Anyway,
God.
So I've loved making fun of that episode for years, and Lurch is in it. Lurch was awesome, right?
Yeah. Lurch is totally awesome.
Yeah, he's totally awesome, and it's a great episode. And I didn't figure that out until after we recorded last week's episode. That's who the Roger was. And you know, I didn't make any of the connections.
Well, I'm glad you're up to speed now, and I'm glad we get to talk about all of that.
Sure.
Yeah. Hey, can I share with you something that popped up in some of my socials last night after our technical difficulties prevented us from recording? There is an Easter egg in this episode from Doctor Who.
Huh. Okay.
So, and this does go into spoiler territory now. After the Enterprise is captured and is inside the scavenger ship, and there's all the umbilicals and stuff wrapped around it, if you look at the warp engines, so as you're facing the Enterprise, so warp engines are back behind the saucer section, the right nacelle, look closely, there's a TARDIS sitting on the nacelle.
Oh, wow. I did not see that. That's great.
I didn't see it either.
But
people caught it.
Yeah, you didn't see it. That's astounding.
Okay, well, keep in mind that I just cannot bring myself to replace my I think it's a 20-year-old Sony Bravia television because it still is so good. The limitation I have is that it's a 32-inch screen.
Right.
So
low resolution.
You know, something that small, it's not 4K. So I miss seeing it. But it's there. And in Doctor Who, we have had references and a very big reference to Star Trek in the last season where the doctor, in response to his companion asking about transporter technology, like from Star Trek, and he says, "Yeah, we should go visit those people," like something like that. But his implication is, this is actually a reality that I can take us to in the TARDIS.
Interesting. And I am guessing that that very much specifically and deliberately ties to there being a TARDIS on this episode.
It wouldn't surprise me at all. Yeah. And there was a point when Russell T. Davies was running the reboot when it first started up for for Doctor Who. So it would have been Christopher Eccleston or David Tennant was the doctor at that point. And he was talking with people at Paramount, trying to pull together a crossover episode where the doctor lands on Voyager.
I'm glad they didn't do that. It ended up falling apart. Yeah. I'm glad they didn't do that. I have a pedantic whine about this episode.
You something pedantic?
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm sitting down.
Thank you. I appreciate the reality there. This is absolutely a spoiler. If you do not want a spoiler for this episode, you should probably skip ahead 2 or 3 minutes at least. So, I had an issue with the fact that the salvagers, isn't that what they called them? Scavengers.
Yeah, the scavengers.
That the scavengers moved all clunky, like they were weird. They were super slow moving, and then they turned out to be humans. That doesn't make any sense.
I assumed it's because they were in those power armor suits. When they were walking, you could hear the sound effect of like servo motors for the as their legs are moving. And so I assume
power armor that moves you slower. They were
driving power suits.
Power armor that moves you slower is stupid. So either it's stupid or it's a convenient misdirect. And I'm a little disappointed by that.
Okay, so.
Oh, man.
I'm going to throw some more info at you.
Okay, all right, fine.
We know that these people are scavengers. Mm. And so they're just collecting all this stuff from all these spaceships that they find. And so you're having to pull apart and move a lot of heavy things.
Good Lord.
This is more of a power suit thing that they have cobbled together. And now, over time, it's added in defensive things because we already know they're just taking in everything they can get a hold of. They're almost like the Packlets.
To quote one of my favorite characters from The Valley Girl, gag me with a spoon with that nonsense. I have a much easier explanation. They wanted to throw us off and not have them think they were humans, and so they threw that in there. And then the reveal. And that's lame.
I'm sure that's exactly what they're doing. I'm just sitting here trying to muddy the waters for you by coming up with possible in-universe explanations. Mm-hmm. But we needed to not see those characters as humans to have the emotional impact of the reveal.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, I feel like they could have done that differently than the clumsy moving. I feel like there are different mechanisms they could have done to hide their humanity.
Yeah.
And the overall impact and the overall effect that it had on Kirk was terrific in terms of storytelling. It's just the mechanism mm-hmm. that they use to trigger that lesson. That's the part that I'm whining about. And I'm definitely whining.
Yeah, well, TARDIS on the nacelle.
Yeah, that's cool, though. All right, why don't you tell us about Magpaw?
Oh, actually, I would love to do that. So here's the deal. Everyone knows about Clean My Mac, mm-hmm. but
I use it.
What they might not know. Yeah, so do I. Clean My Mac is a great tool. What you may not be aware of, though, is that there's a new feature called Cloud Cleanup that's part of Clean My Mac. And what it does is it lets you link into your iCloud and your OneDrive and Google Drive accounts, and then it can scan through and analyze all the different files you have stored. But it does all of this locally, so it's not like you're having to share that information with someone else's cloud server somewhere.
It's done locally,
so it's your data stays safe. Then it gives you a report so you can look and see what files you may not need that are taking up a lot of space, or maybe they don't need to be synced anymore, or whatever it is. And then you can choose what it is that you want to have deleted, and then it just manages all of that for you. And it's really cool, and it's a great new feature that people just didn't know about. So depending on how much of a file pack rat you are, you could be getting back gigabytes of space and save yourself from having to pay for more storage, cloud storage, than you really need with a service. So here's what you need to do. You need to get tidy today. You can try 7 days free of Clean My Mac and use our special code Context Machine for 20% off of Clean My Mac. And to take advantage of all this, go to the Clean My Mac website, which is CLNMY. So Clean My, kind of clever how they did that. CLNMY.com/the Context Machine. And we'll have a link to that in our show notes too. And you'll get 20% off your purchase. So thank you to Magpaw, and I'm very much looking forward to freeing up a bunch of space off of my iCloud, OneDrive, and Google Drive accounts.
Yep, I really appreciate them sponsoring us, and I love their products. I love all their products, but Clean My Mac is terrific.
I agree. So, hey, thanks again, Magpaw.
Yep, thanks very much. All right, I was thinking that I'm actually kind of, I'm looking forward to this fall's Apple product releases. And that's essentially a feeling that I haven't had for a while.
Okay, well, that's really interesting. And I'm curious, why are you having that feeling now? We should probably also touch on why you haven't had that feeling previously.
Well, so I've been, actually, let's start with why I haven't.
Okay.
For one thing, I am definitely a little less connected to the Apple world now that I am, we no longer own the Mac Observer. And so just that lack of sort of daily interest brings with it a lack of caring. And on top of that, I'm getting older, right? I think.
And you had a stroke.
And I don't think I can blame the stroke on.
I'm interrupting you for a second, Brian. The fact that you can raise awareness about the dangers of a stroke and laugh about it at the same time, I think that is super awesome. Oh, also, thanks. I'm really glad that you have recovered so well from your stroke. Thank okay, you. Now you can continue.
Thank you. So there's definitely an aspect of the way Apple has done its keynote presentations, especially now that they're not even doing them live, and the lack of the Steve Jobs showmanship, despite the incredible production value that they bring to these things these days. I am sure that 40-year-old me would probably be just as excited about each event as I was when it was the iPhone to the iPhone 2, or, you know, getting to see, you know, being excited about the new Macs. But I'm 59-year-old Brian, and so there's a little bit of age-related lack of interest that is not Apple's fault.
So you want Apple to get that iPhone off your lawn?
I try to not. I'm always on guard against being the get off my lawn guy.
Okay.
But yeah. So anyway, with that as a background, there's definitely a okay. Each device is, you know, just a little bit better. I mean, the Apple is specifically doing these iteration things, and we're not seeing a lot that's new. We're just usually seeing things that are better, and better is great, but it doesn't have the same interest and excitement level as new. And I feel like I've been seeing enough headlines that really suggest we're going to be seeing some new things. I don't really know what those new things are going to be, but I feel like we're going to get some new things coming, in Apple Watch and iPhone at the very least. I haven't seen any iPad related headlines. I don't know if they're out there, but I haven't seen them.
Yeah, the iPad related stuff that I'm seeing, it falls in line with the pattern that we've had, where we get improvements, but it's not new. Like you're talking about, you're expecting for the iPhone 17,
right? And it seems like the Apple Watch is going to be goosed a little more than we've seen the Apple Watch be goosed for a while.
Yeah. And this might be the year that I finally replace my Apple Watch Series 8, which I have been holding on to because I didn't want to give up my blood oxygen sensor. And now we have the Apple has redone the software to work around the patent infringement. And so now people in the US can have their blood oxygen sensor again. Okay, now I can look at replacing my Apple Watch.
Yeah.
This might be a good year for that.
I will briefly celebrate the fact that I got my Apple Watch Ultra 2 just before they had to turn that off. And so I've had it the whole time, and yay me.
Yeah, and which is why I still have my Series 8.
Right.
So that I didn't have to give it up either.
Yeah. So last year, it's funny. Last year I was kind of, you know, I absolutely have a, oh my God, I've got to get the latest, greatest. I've got a heavy case of that. And I was kind of pleased that the Ultra wasn't updated last year because I didn't want to have to replace my Ultra. And but this year I am thrilled that it seems like we're going to get the Ultra 3. And I'm looking forward to getting a new Ultra.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I can afford it.
I'm looking forward to seeing what we get with the new Apple Watch. I'm also really interested to see what's true in the rumors about camera upgrades and stuff for the iPhone 17 Pro. And I'm feeling like this is a year where I have to get a new iPhone.
Right. What are you running?
Because I'm still working. 12 Pro.
Ooh, goodness gracious.
Yeah. Well, okay. So first,
where do you put the dinosaur droppings?
Well, they sit in the back of the wooden cart. The problem that I'm having right now is that my Triceratops is getting old enough that it just can't pull the cart the way it used to.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, but you know, it's been one of those things where it was working and doing everything that I needed, and then when we got to the iPhone 16, I was like, oh yeah, this is probably time for me to go ahead and replace this phone. And that's when the whole thing with the market that I'm in for freelance writing really tanked, because LLMs took over so much of that work.
Right.
And I thought, well, I should be fiscally responsible. But now when the 17 comes out, I mean, I can't take advantage of a lot of features in iOS 26. With an iPhone 12, the battery is at the point where it needs to be replaced. It's a lightning connector instead of USB-C. It's just like down the list. There's all these things that have become limitations that are a problem for me. So right. 17.
All right. Well, that's good. That's interesting. And I will, I'll probably be getting an Ultra 3 if I can swing it. And I don't know that I will replace my 15 Pro. I don't know that I will.
I totally get that, because you're in that point in the iPhone timelines where you can sit there and look at it and be like, well, I want the new one just because it's new.
Yeah.
But you can also evaluate what your phone is doing for you. Do you really need a new one?
Right. Well,
especially if you're getting an Apple Watch.
There have been many a new Apple device on my desk or in my pocket that I did not need over the years.
Yeah, but you kind of did.
Well, you know, I could always rationalize it related to TMO.
See?
Right. And now I don't have that rationalization or need. But anyway, regardless, I am not so foolish as to think that we represent all of our listeners here. I would love to hear what you guys think at this point where, you know, we're a month or two away from these keynote things. Have you been excited about reading about the new devices? Are you interested in it? And how does this compare to prior years? Because I assume that a lot of our listeners have been with us for a while. And I would love to hear how things have changed or not changed for y'all. And I would especially love any insight that you can offer.
Yeah, I'm curious too. Like you, Brian, I'm in that place where I can't use Mac Observer as an excuse to justify, well, I have to have the newest. And I'm looking at what we have today or what's coming, presumably, and I'm thinking, wow, that iPhone 12 Pro, that sure could be replaced. That Apple Watch Series 8, you know, that is probably about due, and boy, it sure would be nice to replace my 13-inch iPad Pro. And as I go down the list of things where it'd be nice to get new stuff, how many kidneys can we sell before it's a problem?
I think we're still limited to one.
Fine.
And that's only if the...
Can I donate part of my liver and then it grows back?
You can try. That seems reasonable. I've often wondered why we don't do that all the time. I'm assuming there's a reason. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah, because what? Yeah. No, I'm not selling organs. No.
Wait, you're missing out, sir.
That's what I hear. There's nothing like waking up completely disoriented in a bathtub full of ice.
Yes. Hopefully full
good
of ice.
Good times.
Hopefully full of ice. Listen, we probably have to go, but I'm curious. Did you watch Foundation this week too?
I did. And I really enjoyed it. I'm
enjoying this season, man.
I've loved each season. And I feel like they've really kicked that up a notch for this season.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Jane Espenson, thank you very much for all of your work, ma'am. You're freaking awesome. Yes. I'm loving this season. It is so good. The actors are so good. The characters are so good. It's a great show.
I agree. And one of the things that I have enjoyed through the entire series, but especially this season, is how the actors that play Empire, the various Cleons, how they get to play those characters with different personalities.
Yes.
100%. And that is just so much fun to watch.
Yeah. How compelling, what's the actor that plays Day's name?
I don't know.
Day Foundation. Can grind a little sausage. Lee Pace. He is.
Yeah. From Guardians of the Galaxy.
So, and from a little bit in Lord of the Rings too. He is so compelling. He is so compelling on the screen. He has the biggest range of different characters he gets to play in this series as the same character.
Yes.
But
it's great.
He is so good. I love him. And but the whole show is just terrific. It really, really is. Yeah,
I agree. I'm really enjoying it.
All right. Well, unfortunately, we do have to go. So I am going to first do this. And then I'm going to say that's this week's Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at contextmachinepodcast@gmail.com. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Dr. Boom, recorded just for this show. And that's it for this week, Jeff.
Yeah, and I just want to add, though, that it's really great. MacPaw's been our sponsor today, so thank you for that. Go to their special website, clnmy.com/thecontextmachine, so you could get 20% off your order of Clean My Mac. Don't forget to use our special code Context Machine as well. Thank you, MacPaw.
Yep. Thank you very much, MacPaw. And everyone, have a great day.